Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
This is Dennis O'Brien with the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Your retirement, your money. Here we are on 94.9 News Now. Welcome this morning to the radio show. Hope everybody's doing well. And my name is Dennis O'Brien. I'm president, owner, and chief bottle washer at O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, located at Exit 90 down from Steak Loft in Greenmanville Avenue, otherwise known as Route 27. One of my favorite lunch places in the area is the Blue Squid, located at Old Mystic Village. The staff there loves to verbally abuse me or joust with me. I should say abuse, which makes for great fun. Sometimes I meet my bride there who thinks I'm out of my mind. She's so stoic, so Viking. I just get a kick out of her. But in any case, I like to stroll around, especially when the weather gets warmer, and see all the tourists driving by there because Exit 90 is always like a little boom town once the weather gets better, and it's always booming. The Hyatt next to me, the parking lot's full this morning when I was at work writing for the show. I'm like, the weather's been good. So, no snowstorm. So we've been very, very fortunate. Well, this week's been very crazy, busy with many of you opening new accounts and transferring assets from all over. The one thing in common is none of you really understand what you own. I'm not criticizing, I'm just noting. Many of you do not know how to read your statements. Many of you cannot even pronounce or remember your financial advisor's name or even recall meeting them. So you got your money, you get these statements, you look at them, and you just go, I don't know what this is, and I don't know who this guy or lady is, and Dennis, take a look. I'm in business, so obviously I'm going to take a look. And sometimes we can help, and sometimes we can't. And when we can't, it's usually because you're in non-traded REITs, annuities, long-term products that are illiquid or have a big negative number if you try to sell them right away. So we're very, very careful. So we have a call online. Who do we have? Tim? Tim from Preston. Hey there, Tim. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Dennis. How are you?
This is Tim Bray from Seaport Realty, everybody. And Tim's one of the most knowledgeable real estate agents out there. He has a 10-man crew working out of the Packer Building downtown Mystic. How am I doing, Tim? Pretty good?
Geez, I wish you could keep going, but I didn't pay enough money to do so.
Now, let's put it on record. You paid me no money, okay? Well, we'll take a lunch.
Absolutely. More than happy to.
Absolutely. And McQuaid's is fine. I like walking up the hill there. It's absolutely
fine. It seems like you're a staple. Every time I go in there, you're a fixture in McQuaid.
I work the crowd, brother. I work the crowd,
I try to be like you.
Anyway, you and I intersected this week because I had a friend named Mark who's a senior in his 70s and got approached by a door-to-door salesman about solar systems, putting it on his house. And yep. I remember having a conversation with you a few months back where you told me, just in passing, that these solar systems on the houses were negatively affecting their value in the market and actual sales in the aftermarket. And I just remembered that conversation. So when Mark called me, I said, listen, there's somebody you need to talk to before you sign anything. Just talk to my friend Tim. So you called Mark and had a conversation with him about it, right?
I did. And just to put the record straight, I think solar is a great thing.
Right.
I think, having these alternative energy sources are where it's going.
Right.
The issue that I have with it, and I know a lot of the solar companies are saying that it increases the value of your home.
Right.
And from being out there in the field and working with both buyers and sellers, when we have a choice to purchase a property, and one has solar and the other one does not, the questions that come up are typically, okay, well, first of all, how old is the roof? You know, if the roof is, let's say it's a 30-year architectural shingle, which typically has a shelf life of about, 22, 23 years.
Right.
And let's say the solar system, or the solar is going to go on now. And how many years do you have before, you've got to replace that system or the roof. And then who's responsible for that?
Right.
So there are some questions that definitely need to be asked. And buyers are not, they typically don't want to deal with it.
Well, especially if it's a lease system,
yeah,
right?
Let's say it's $60 a month.
Right.
I mean, what if it adversely impacts your value or allows somebody else to choose another home over yours? You know, the impact is huge.
Right. So that being said, my confusion with Mark when we were talking was, when I started reading about it, you either pay for the system, right, cash up front, $30,000, $40,000, whatever it costs.
Yep.
You put it typically on your roof, okay, and for a savings of $60 to $80 a month.
That's what it is. So figure out the break-even point on that if you were to purchase that system.
Now, I know you get the big tax credit federally and you get a state credit, so even factoring those in, seems like a pretty long payback period.
It does. It does to me as well. And here's the thing to think about. You know, a lot of these properties, people, you know, in the 200 to 250 range, they're getting the solar put on their homes. And a lot of times, people that are buying those homes are first-time home buyers.
Right.
And you really have to pay attention to the front and the back-end ratios as far as lending goes.
Right.
And if you have to qualify to absorb that lease for the solar panels, that could adversely impact your ability to purchase that home because your ratios go up.
Right.
So it does have, and again, I go back to love solar. I think we're getting there. I love the siding that's coming out. I know Tesla has developed some siding and some shingles that you can't differentiate between whether or not they're a 30-year architectural or a solar. There are some good products coming out there that look appealing.
Right.
But, you know, I am, and I can't say I'm pro or con, depends on how long you're going to live in that home. I mean, if this is your forever home, then maybe it's the right choice for you.
Right. And plus, if it's a $700,000-$900,000 house and you're pretty liquid and putting on a $30,000-$40,000 solar system on that house for cash, you know, because the house is big and the savings may be more substantial and you plan to be there more than 20 years, maybe it works in that case.
But you got to look at your neighborhood, too.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times, I mean, who knows? Maybe there are covenants and restrictions that states you need permission.
Exactly.
To get that done.
Exactly. If people have questions for you, Tim, where can they reach you at?
Cell phone's the best, 860-912-7137.
Okay. Hey, Timmy, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dennis.
Take care. Okay. So there you have it, guys. Be very, very careful of the solar salesman going door to door. You have any questions or would like my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com or call me at 860-415-9614. Email dobrien@ifgrr.com. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about this. And thanks for listening to the Retirement Life and Investing. Come back to us in a few. And thanks for listening to the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 FM News Now. See you in a few. Welcome back to the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 FM News Now Radio. This is Dennis O'Brien, host of your show today. And we were talking about, before Timmy called in, just be aware of these door-to-door salesmen pushing solar. Can be a good thing. We like solar and alternative energy. We just question the effect of the resale value of your house and the mechanics of doing so to a new buyer. So just be aware of that in any case. So I was talking about how the week was a little crazy. A lot of people coming in, transferring accounts in. And many of you don't know what you have or how to read your statements or know who your financial advisor was beforehand. But that's what I like about the radio show. One of the things you get to do is get to know me and decide ahead of time if I'm your cup of tea, so to speak. So some of you come in out of curiosity, and some of you have already made up your mind that you want me to help you get organized. So I'm here to help no matter what. A couple of you told me that I need more staff, that I'm working, but I'm very conservative with my expenses, and I want to hire someone who has little or no chance of being laid off because I was too aggressive. So I agree with you. I'm going to need some help, but at the same time, I want to do it in a way that it's it wouldn't be fair to someone if the business didn't continue on this upside trajectory. I just don't want to hurt anybody or create a havoc in anybody's life by hiring them and not being able to keep them on. So I'm very, very careful that way. Some of the accounts have some holdings that came in this week I'm not familiar with, which is kind of fun because usually I kind of see the same old boring stuff. American funds this, a Prudential annuity this. You know, it's usually the same stuff. But this week I saw some holdings. I went, what is that? So I love that part of it because then I can, usually on a Sunday, or I can just start researching everything and seeing what I want to hold to. How do you research it? Well, you first of all, you start with the symbol. You go through Google, and then you get on the SEC 10K, 10Qs. You read up on it. You see if there's any research analyst reports on it. You go to their website and see what they're doing, who's managing them, see if they know what they're doing. So you can get a feel for the company on what they're up to. And but at first, it all starts with the numbers. You know, are they making money? Are they losing money? Are they growing sales? Are sales stagnant? What business are they in? Is this business have a competitive advantage? Things like that. So you go through, because you have to research them and decide whether you want to hold, sell, or even buy more. And the reason I say buy more is because I have no ego when it comes to good ideas. If someone comes in with a great idea and it's a holding I'm not familiar with, but after researching it, I'll use it. I've had 20-year-olds come in my office with amazing insights in the tech world. I have no pride. If they're right, I'm a buyer. You know, I don't care. They have access to technology that us older folks, chronologically, not mentally, but us older folks may not be aware of. You know, I had my printer went. I had this printer since I started up 5 years ago, Hewlett Packard. And it just started merging colors, and then it just stopped printing altogether. So I go on Google, and I didn't have a computer guy. The guy I had, he had worked for Staples, and I kind of lost track of him. He lost track of me. So I went on, and there's this company in Stonington, Pawcatuck, run by these young guys and gals I don't even know. And I guess the guy that owns the company is 20 years old. Named Connor. So I called him up and they said, yeah, we'll be out the next day, blah, blah, blah. And came out, and Connor's co-worker from Westerly High School is 22. And boom, and he ran over to Staples, bought the machine I needed, brought it back, set it up, put in all the software, everything, in and out. I had a client coming in, and we had about a 10-minute overlap, and the client was amazed by this kid running around the office, getting all this stuff done. And, hey, more power to him and more power to the 20-year-old who started this company. I give him a lot of credit. I believe his name is Connor McGill is the name of the owner. And I can't remember the name of the company. I'm sorry, Connor. But if you ever want to come on and tell your story, I'm fascinated by young entrepreneurs and what gets them going. Because at 20 years old, I was not thinking about starting a company. And I'll venture to say 99% of you out there weren't thinking of that. But maybe I'm wrong. So who knows? And whatnot. Facebook. Over 200 people wished me happy birthday this week on Facebook. I became eligible for early Social Security this week, which I'm not going to take. So I told my wife, you know how much I love you? I'm not taking Social Security. So if I die later on, you'll get my full security, which will be a lot more if I wait. You know. So she looked at me and went, yeah, right. But the reason why I'm talking about Facebook is it surprised me because when the business took off and got real busy, I stopped posting happy birthdays to people. I just couldn't keep up with what I was doing. And so I thought, last year I got 160 of these happy birthday things. I figured I'd be lucky to get 100, and this year I got 200. So I was like, what the heck happened here? So I thought people would, drop me, but I guess I had a 20% increase. So everybody says Facebook is dead. Do not believe them. It's turned into like a family friend bulletin board for communities, interest groups, family, and friends. And I just think that, doing the radio might have helped. Having a business page might have helped. And just basically the posting that Karen does every day on my business page, I think has helped a lot too in terms of visibility and whatnot. So my strategy, marketing strategy, and anybody out there has a business, is I don't send marketing emails to people. I think emails are just junk. I think people just block them and don't read them because they're just inundated with them. But if you can get them to like your business page and follow it, just put a posting up. They can look at it and say, yeah, I like that, or I don't like it, but I can just move on. But at least they'll get something from you every day or every other day just to remind them if they're interested in having that. So I like that strategy better because they have said they'd like to get it, you know. So I think it's much more read if they've agreed to get it versus you just jamming it down their throats on constant contact type of format and whatnot, stuff like that. The episode of this show today is called Countdown to Retirement. It's based on an article my bride cut out of AARP magazine. It was pretty well done considering the source. The writers are old pros, so I wound up enjoying it more so than I usually do with the general media and everything else. But AARP talked about 5 years from now, see where you stand. Take a quick test. If you're in your early 60s, you want to have at least 8 times your current salary in savings. Okay, so let's run the numbers. If you have household income of $70,000, they want you to have between your 401k, IRA, bank savings, and everything, they want you to have 8 times 70, which is $560,000 in the bank saved up. That's kind of like, that's the thought they're thinking, okay? All right? So at least it's a number that you can shoot for, okay, and everything else. Sometimes some people come in and I'll put a number much, much higher than it based on their savings rates and whatnot. So do a deeper dive. Plug your current numbers, including earnings, savings, future pensions, into an online calculator, which I can do with the retirement in a nutshell. Okay, you can do it also. Experts say you'll need 75 to 80% of your pre-retirement income to live well. I think that's debatable. I don't buy into that. I think you need the same lifestyle because you have more time, free time on your hands, and usually that means you're going to spend more money. So I'm not buying that, okay? But don't despair, because you can, by earning more, trimming expenses, or delaying retirement, and delaying retirement really helps your numbers, okay? Even 2 years can really, really help your numbers and everything else. Now, saving the easy way, and this is actually an interesting idea, 82% of the workers get paid by direct deposit. So you can save, you split off that and put a part of it, 5, 10, 15, 20%, automatically deposit into the savings account instead of the checking, okay? You can have your payroll HR department do that for you in an online savings account. And then when that builds up enough, you send me a check, okay? And then we start investing because you know the bank's not going to pay you much, okay? But at least that money gets it out of the checking account, out of the constant, hey, I have extra money, let's go spend it type of mentality, okay? So I thought that was interesting. If you already have a healthy savings account, 401k, 403b, I saw some deferred comp this week, IRA, this is Roth IRA. This is all what we call qualified money. Qualified money is money that you pre-taxed into a plan, you grew tax deferred, and then it's qualified when it comes out. Then the taxes hit. Okay, that's called qualified money. 403B, 401K, all that stuff is called qualified money. Okay, and that's something that when you do the transfer rollovers, you want to go from qualified to qualified, not to trigger a tax bill. So if you're rolling money out of your 401K, make sure the check is not made out to you. It's made out to the next custodian. In my case, I make it out to Pershing LLC for the benefit of and the client's name. Fidelity will send it to the client, but in that name. Okay, but do not let them send it out in your name, because that's when the 20% withholding rules apply, and then you're in trouble because you're paying taxes and you didn't get the qualified to qualified tax-free rollover or tax-deferred rollover. So just be aware of that. Now, people aren't aware, but in 2019, if you're 50 and over, you can contribute up to $7,000 to your Roth, okay? So if you're doing all these other things, your 401k and everything else, you also can do a Roth if you want. It's subject to income limitations, too. So you're laying the groundwork now for lower taxes later on, so that's why you might consider a Roth. So it's something to consider. But, you know, if you need a new roof in your house in retirement, you can take the cash out of your 401k, traditional IRA, the money's taxable. But if you have it in a Roth, then it's not. So it's just something to think about and whatnot. And the other thing is, how much time do we have, by the way? Oh, only 2 minutes, minute. The other way is, you know, we've talked about this. Having a mortgage in retirement's a large fixed cost you have to cover every month. So then you have to sell investments to comp the cash for the monthly payment. So that's the worst thing. So I'm always, somebody this week had $150,000 in the bank and $30,000 left on the mortgage. And I said, pay it off, you know, and they're resisting. That's fine. But I'm telling them, pay it off. And that those extra payments you're making of $3,000 a month, once that goes away, you'll be like, why didn't I do this sooner, you know? That just frees up everything, and that load is off your mind. It's absolutely, people have done it. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. But in any case, if you'd like to make an appointment, we're going to break for commercial in a minute. And if you'd like to make an appointment or come see me, just go to www.obrienretire.com, hit the magic button, and send me an email, and I'll send you the Retirement Ten Commandments, and then we can chat, see when you'd like to come in. There's no charge for coming in and talking, so don't worry about the meter running and whatnot. Thanks for listening to the Retirement Life Investing Show. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien here, president, owner, and operator of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, and this is the Retirement Life and Investing Show. And today's show is Countdown to Retirement. 5 years out, what should you do? Okay, and so we were talking about how much money you should have saved, doing a direct deposit partially to your savings account to save up your nest egg, and talking about Roth IRAs and whatnot. Paying down your mortgage. Instead of paying your mortgage bill once every month, make half payments every 2 weeks. Those 26 payments per year are the equivalent of 13 monthly payments, resulting in a faster payoff and lower interest costs. Got a tax refund, bonus, side job? Apply the cash from any of these sources to your loan's principal. Avoid refinancing your mortgage, since a new loan delays your payoff. It means more of your money is going toward paying interest because you have a new amortization table. And remember, the bank likes to get their money up front. So when you start amortizing again from day one, 95% of it in most cases is interest. So be aware of that. Do not use a home equity loan, a line of credit for purchases. Do not buy a car with a home equity line of credit. The new tax law makes it less attractive, and this is the wrong time to be growing your mortgage debt, okay, 5 years out, okay? Putting new retirement savings to work. Somewhere between playing the slots in Las Vegas and stuffing cash under your mattress, there's a sweet spot. And they talk about balanced mutual funds and target date mutual funds and high-grade corporate bonds, money market, U.S. government, CDs, blah, blah, inflation-protected bonds, which I do like. I like buying the ETFs. And that's where I operate many times. I do high-dividend ETFs, and I like them a lot. And my investors like them a lot. I don't want the full risk of the stock market, but I want higher income to insure us against any downward drifts in the market. Also, 5 years out, how not to get fired from your job. Avoid career burnout. They talk about networking. Map out the power structure of your company. Keep learning. Show up for training. And don't either keep growing or you're going to be seen as dead wood. Boy, oh boy, it's tough out there. Cross generations, become a mentor to younger employees. And you'll be surprised how much they'll teach you, especially with developing technology and culture. Open up to change. Show your willingness to go along with new ideas and come up with some of your own so you're not always the naysayer in the room when talk of change comes up, right? Yeah, so, you know, some of the older folks, we tend to go, oh, no, you know, because we're resistant to change more as you get older. So just be aware of that. Especially in a culture where you're in a corporate culture and whatnot. So, whatnot. 3 years out, take the 15-second retirement readiness quiz. Okay? All right. If you have months of unopened credit card bills piling up, it's time to hit the panic button. If you pray that your car passes inspection because you don't have cash for new tires, it's time to hit the panic button. If you spent more money on your wardrobe this year than you have put in your retirement account, it's time to hit the panic button. If your retirement financial plan is to get by on Social Security, it's time to hit the panic button. If your backup retirement plan involves lottery tickets or scratch-offs, it's time to hit the panic button. Okay? And I'm trying to keep it light here, but guys, let's keep it real here. You got to plan. Okay, attacking your debt. Because your income is higher now than it'll be in retirement, you've got more elbow room to pay off what you borrowed, so use it. Okay? And if you need a written plan, do it. Set up a payment schedule. There's a site they refer to called PowerPay.org that helps you organize your payments. I've not gone to the site, so you're on your own there. Write up a goal sheet. Tape it up to your refrigerator. They say clothes closet, but refrigerator, somewhere you'll go every day. Does it help you remind you why you're working so hard at controlling your spending? And get help, credit, consumer counseling, and all that and everything else. The seven deadly splurges. I like this one. Here you go. The seven deadly splurges. Excuse me. Luxury automobile, Volvo S60, $55,000. Is a Volvo S60 really $55,000? Don't 98% of these things get leased anyway? I don't know. Your kid's dream wedding. The national average in 2017 was $33,000. Another deadly splurge. A statement watch, a Rolex Submariner, would be $7,500. Designer clothes, a three-piece Tom Ford sharkskin suit, $5,000. Oh, you imagine me strolling in that? Oh, my Lord. The ultimate vacation, round-the-world cruise, $25,000. Another deadly splurge. Really big toys, a 22-foot sailboat, $25,000. That's not a bad buy, actually. a first-class round-trip flight to London, $10,000. Woo! So they're kind of just saying, listen, don't go crazy here. It's just because you've accumulated some money. Be careful of splurging and whatnot, okay? And so, do a Social Security checkup. This is still 3 years out. If you haven't already investigated what your benefits will be in retirement and how you can maximize them, do so. Timing is crucial. Waiting to your full retirement age is likely between 66 and 67. The specific month depends on your birth year. Get your first full benefit. Claim as early as possible at 62, and your monthly benefit will be much lower for life. But if you wait to 70, your monthly benefit goes up 8% each full year you delay until after your full retirement age. Married couples usually fare best by coordinating claims. In most cases, higher wage earning delays filing as long as possible. The lower earner will start collecting earlier. And if you're a single beneficiary with a reasonable expectation of a long life, you will do well by delaying. Being widowed or divorced can add another layer of complexity, so you got to be aware that you do have rights to your divorced one's Social Security. You get half of it if it's higher than what you would get at their full retirement age. So just be aware of that. Okay, and there's places you can go and get a custom plan done and blah, blah, blah. Do home improvements on the cheap. This is still 3 years out. Repaint cabinets instead of putting in new ones. Do a bathroom mini makeover. Avoid the 10 grand plus of a new remodel. Instead, spruce up a dated bathroom by fixing fixtures and accessories, including the lightery. Fresh landscaping. A nice yard raises the home perceived value by more than 5.5%, researchers found. Professional upgrade of an average-sized lawn costs $13,200, but you can do it for yourself much, much less. Okay? Work, still 3 years out. Stay near your lane. Start looking for work projects that you're good at. Get schooled. Find out what you need. Keep expectations modest. So start planning maybe your career after you retire, which is kind of a oxymoron, but in any case. Okay, 1 year out to retirement. Test drive your budget. Run a dress rehearsal on your retirement spending plan, okay? They say take a staycation, just stay home and see how much things cost, and then recalibrate if you find that things aren't got cash over at the end. Great, blah, 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 okay? Consolidate accounts. This is a big one, guys. As you start 1 year out, start consolidating things, all right, so you can keep track of them. So clarity can really help keep things simple. So I always have people that some of them have 7, 8, 9 401ks all over the place. Open up an IRA, start consolidating these, especially these smaller ones. And then if your company, while you still work at, does not allow an in-service rollover, which I don't go with most of the time, once you retire, you can add it to the other ones too. And then you have clarity and you can turn on the monthly payment if you want, or you can delay it, depending on what your situation is. Here's an interesting one. 1 year out, visit the dentist. Traditional Medicare does not cover dentistry. 70% of the people 65 or older have little or no dental insurance. Getting dental work now can be a lifesaver, which is very, very interesting. Okay? Try sticking around. Talk to your boss. Maybe you can work something part-time thing out and help train people as a transition paper. Check with HR and see if you working part-time will affect your health insurance or other benefits. And also freshen your network. Get minimum once a week. Go together with a different colleague or acquaintance you know. And start thinking about what you're going to be doing in retirement. You'll find opportunities after retirement will mainly be through networking, and it's much easier to build that while you're still working. So everybody wants to talk to you when you're not working. They think maybe you're desperate after you retire, so maybe you don't have the same juice or whatnot. So in any case, these are some of the ideas 1 year out. And when we come back from break, we'll talk about 3 months to retirement and whatnot. So I liked the article. It was kind of interesting. And if you'd like to get my Retirement 10 Commandments or make an appointment, go to O'BrienRetire.com or call 860-415-9614 or email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com. More than happy to sit down with you and see how you're doing. I do appointments on the weekends also if you need to, although I try to avoid Sunday if possible and whatnot. And appointments after 5 during the week, I'm usually not worth much after that. So I try to avoid them unless you really need it, then we'll do whatever you need. But in any case, thanks for listening to Retirement Life Investing Show. Part 3 is over, and we will continue with the countdown to retirement on our 4th segment in a few minutes. Thanks. Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. This is Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, exit 90, down from Stake Loft. Come visit. Give me a call or visit my website. Anyway, we're counting down to retirement, 3 months to retirement. Review your HR, Medicare, Social Security checklist. So get the paperwork for these three crucial elements of retirement. If you're retiring before 65, you have a few choices for health insurance to tide you over until the Medicare age, which is 65. COBRA, you stay at your employer's plan, usually 18 months, paying all the premiums. Coverage through a spouse or coverage through a spouse's job or an individual plan through the Affordable Care Act. Talk to HR about COBRA costs and rules. Then research the ACA costs in your region or give a call to my friend Jerry at Guilford Insurance and maybe he can help you with a supplemental plan. Medicare eligibility begins at 65 and sign up is automatic if you're already receiving Social Security. If not, and you do not have qualifying employee coverage from you or your spouse's current job, you need to sign up for Medicare Part A hospitals and Part B doctors and outpatient soon or face lifelong penalties for delayed coverage. So 3 months before 65, get in there and get sign up for that, okay? COBRA retiree plans and employment at a business with fewer than 20 workers don't qualify as credible coverage. That means signing up during the 7-month period that starts with the 3 months before your 65th birthday. Signing up early can help you avoid the gap between the end of your employer-provided insurance and the start of Medicare. You also can be penalized for late enrollment into Medicare Part D, prescription drugs, and Medicare Advantage plans, Part C, that include drug coverage. Enroll online at socialsecurity.gov or by calling Social Security at 800-772-1213. Get help with enrollment choices from the Medicare Rights Center at 800-333-4114 or your local state health insurance assistance program, a federally funded program that provides free counseling on coverage options. Social Security, if you need your retirement benefits to start as soon as you stop work, applying now gives you time to address any possible hiccups. You can apply up to 4 months before you want your benefits to begin if you're at least 61 years and 9 months old. Note that you actually receive benefits for a particular month in the following month. So, for example, if you go to Social Security in June, you won't receive your first check till July. So June's coverage comes in July. You can apply online at ssa.gov or by calling Social Security Administration. Pension. If you do one, choose between regular payments or a lump sum that you can move to an IRA. For many couples, a joint and survivor payout option is preferable. So if something happens to you, your wife or spouse or husband gets a survivor benefit too. In almost every case, I've urged people to do the joint one, okay? There are situations where you want to roll over your pension and start with an IRA distribution instead, but you got to run the numbers and see what's more advantageous to you. The main reason why you consider doing that is if you think you don't have a long lifespan, you and your spouse, or if you're single, the money in your IRA can still go to your kids or any beneficiaries you name, whereas the pension rights, they're gone once you pass or your spouse passes on the joint. So from a net worth standpoint, rolling over is a better option. But from a longevity standpoint, if the pension's paying out a very high rate compared to the rollover amount, say 8 or 9%, then you're best off keeping the pension and doing the joint survivorship annuity payoff for a lifetime. Nobody knows how long they're going to live, so everything's guesswork in place. So that's something that you got to think about and whatnot. So don't forget to consolidate accounts and find out any insurance that's provided by your workplace that can continue in retirement. We talked about bathroom renovations, non-stair entrances. So if you get older, you know, you got to price out aging in place. So bathroom renovations, widening doorways, replacing a tub with a walk-in shower, other work, come up to maybe $16,000. No stair entrance to your house can be anywhere from $300 to $2,000. Wider doorways are usually about $700 each. A chair lift, the reach of the upper or lower floor of a home, they can be $3,000 to $10,000 or more depending on whether the staircase is straight or curved. Lowering kitchen cabinets and appliances can run up to, $15,000 according to this. Unwelcome surprises in retirement are major home repairs, upgrades, 28%. Major dental expenses, 24%. Significant medical prescription expenses, 20%. Illness, disability, 15%. And family emergency, 12%. So, as you get closer to retirement, you want to tell people if you're looking for something part-time, practice your pitch, your elevator speech to people, and maybe that can help you out. So that is the countdown to retirement, actually. And I thought the article was pretty well done. And it kind of summarized a lot of things I've talked about in the past, but it did in a pretty good, coherent way and talked about some of the personal stuff and whatnot. I had an amazing conversation with a millennial named Maddie this week. She's 25. And she constantly talks to her boyfriend about when they buy a house. It has to be a larger one so her parents can live with them because she knows that she will have to care for them. She says all her friends think this way. Now, I was kind of stunned. Maybe I'm an idiot and a selfish dude. I don't know. But when I was 25, I wasn't thinking about buying a house big enough so my parents could live with us. And I certainly didn't think about them when I was buying my first house. Then or later on. Do women think this way and men don't? I honestly don't know, but I was kind of, maybe it's a generational thing. They think differently. I don't know. But my car died again this week, and Simon at Shamrock is going to retire well just on this car alone. I went to a local dealer to look at Toyota 4Runners. I took a test drive, left my card. Nobody called. I reached down and asked why. I guess I guess the poop hit the fan because I was getting emails, voice messages, texts, and whatnot. Then I went to look at a used VW Passat. It was a 2016 with 8,000 miles, and they wanted $17,500 for it, plus a conveyance fee of $495. I said, what? So I went on Car Gurus. Similar cars are priced between $13,000 and $16,000. I called them back and offered $15,000, and they passed. Oh, well. But in any case, so I said, oh, Simon, fix the car. I'm going to keep it. So he got the car back, and he'll have a great retirement someday. And when the car died, I called AAA, and I want to thank him and sarcastically thank them for taking 2 hours to come tow my car Friday morning, yesterday morning. Somebody, I read that the towers make a lot more money towing privately and will put a low-fee AAA tow last when they're going out to jobs. This isn't good, AAA. This, you know, because I pay you guys every year. I think 2 hours is too long to wait to get towed. I'm glad I wasn't on the side of the road. I was in my driveway. So maybe I got a low priority tow job here on anything else. Well, let's talk about Connecticut and the proposed budget. I'm in a really good mood now. Okay. I hate to say it, guys, but I think it's going to take another decade. You know, it might take another decade. But this tax, I wrote seven of them, then keeps going. Eventually, it's all going to collapse. The pension checks will stop going out. Teachers will get laid off. Roads will have giant potholes, and our bridges will collapse. Job-creating entrepreneurs will leave us, and wealthy tax-paying citizens will decide they've had enough. It may take a while, but eventually this is all going to collapse if we keep doing what we're doing. You see, Connecticut has competition from other states, and with technology, you basically can live anywhere. So stop raising the mill rates. Keep putting tolls on our roads. Sales tax everything. Keep it up, Hartford. You're sitting on a time bomb. It's not going to be pretty, and the cities will suffer the most. Keep it up, Hartford. Keep meeting with union leaders. Keep stinging it to the Connecticut taxpayers and middle-class families. You have been warned. This cannot continue. And if you doubt me, just look at Illinois. They keep going down this path, and it's going to get worse, worse, and worse. And they, you know, guys, there's 20% fat out there. You got to start cutting. We all have to cut. We all have to be careful. You know? You got... Even when they do the wrong thing, they keep getting reelected. So why would they change until the people wake up and decide they need a change? Stop doing it. It's not a Democrat or Republican thing. It's a common sense thing, okay? Stop with the tax. How can we tax you? And I thought Lamont was going to be smarter than this. You know, he's in the private sector. And the ironic thing about all this, and this is the part that drives me crazy. They all hate Trump. Trump. They hate Trump, right? But since Trump got elected, the stock market's up about 30%. Connecticut has started creating more jobs since Trump got elected. This has created more tax revenues. This has given them a rainy day fund, all right? The policies coming from the feds and helping Wall Street and helping Connecticut in general, and the defense spending and the aeronautics cycle that's helping a lot of our suppliers in the state, okay? So Trump has given them some time to get their spending in order and get organized here on their pension costs, and they're just frittering it away. They're just throwing it away. So over time, I hate to say it, but if they don't wake up, it's all going to crash down. It's just a matter of time. So, guys, I hate to be pessimistic here, but, you know, sign of insanity is keep doing the same crazy thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And it really comes down to this. It's all short-term thinking. How can I get through the next year election? How can I get through the next cycle? Short-term thinking, okay? And it permeates our society. That's why people take money out of the 401k to buy a car, a depreciating asset. This is why people do a lot of short-term borrowing. They do home equity lines of credit cards. This thinking permeates, okay? But the really smart ones are looking out going, shaking their heads going, this cannot continue. Guys, thanks for listening. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show. My name is Dennis O'Brien. If you'd like to reach out to me, my website's www.obrienretired.com. Have a wonderful day and a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Stay safe. Bye-bye.